Aloha, everybody. It's Philip from Educational Triage. I bet you never thought about the school bus. Do we really think about what school buses and schools and their relationships do and the effects they have on our kids? We investigate that. You'll be surprised.
This is the Educational Triage Podcast. Welcome. We invite you to come along with us on an exploration of interviews, issues, and other exciting and relevant topics in education, especially alternative education. They say alternative education is a laboratory for mainstream education. Why? Well, join us every week and listen in as Philip Summers,
aloha,
and I, Tony Hunt, jump in feet first to discuss issues that may affect our classes, students, communities, as well as our teaching. Please subscribe if you enjoy and find relevance in what you experience here. And if you haven't left a quick review, please do. We appreciate your candor and insights so we can improve as we move forward. Now, let's see what's on board today.
Aloha, welcome to Educational Triage. I am Philip, and I'm here with Tony Hunt, the superlative co-host, host, more or less, of this program. Tony, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Philip. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Oh, good.
I'm feeling a little bit confused thinking about this bus thing, but
it's a bit of a weird conundrum, isn't it? I mean, if you look at the history of school buses, and all of a sudden now they went as something that was very util in some ways to an entitlement in many ways.
You're kind of right. They used to be just a wagon back in the day.
Horse-drawn.
In the 1800s. Yeah, they just drawn. And then you'd run out and go, oh, there's the wagon to school. Get it or walk. I imagine there were tons of kids piled on that thing if they needed to be.
Well, they'd run out and they'd just jump up on it, right?
Yep. It might be a little bit of a slowdown. But
It was about 1880s? Am I right?
Yeah, 1880s around there. And then they were replaced in the urban areas with roads. Of course, they had roads, so the cities replaced them with motorized vehicles. Mm-hmm. Made by the Wayne Company. And if anybody's ever been on a school bus, I remember seeing that made by Wayne, or it had Wayne. And I thought, why is this school bus always named Wayne?
but I thought they were bluebirds.
Bluebirds too. Yeah. That's right. There were bluebirds as well. Yeah. Bus 67, Mrs. Shields took me around in my elementary school days.
Oh. I didn't have a school bus. I always walked to school, or I took public transportation, or I rode my bike, or I drove. But when I was in kindergarten we had moved from one part of the city to another, to where we used to walk to school, and I was in kindergarten and my mom was working, one of her good friends was one of the school bus drivers.
Ooh.
And so when she picked up the kindergartners, I would get on her bus, and then we would go everywhere, and then we would end up at her house, and she'd fix me lunch, and she'd take care of me until the end of the day.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
And my mom would pick me up, yeah. So that was, as a student, that was really my only relationship with a school bus as far as transport home.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, chauffeur, school bus driver. I just had Mrs. Shields.
And I had Mrs. Dunlop.
You couldn't ride after your stop. You couldn't just hang on. And you had to have a note to go to your buddy's house. Mm-hmm. If you were going to get off at like Steve's house, you had to have a note, which is still the case. In fact, they keep a lot more track of the kids. I think these days they walk them out to the buses. They see that they're on the buses. They take roll. They account for every kid. That's a standard practice, you know.
Well, what's really interesting is that in the literature, it talked about how
it's become far more efficient, and they become far more fuel efficient, and that's going to figure in later, I know. But yeah. They can also take attendance.
Oh, I read about it. Yeah.
They can take attendance, and it's all charted out, so they know who's on the bus and who's not on the bus.
Right.
And that can relay also to the district or to the schools.
Yep. And that it's got a direct contact, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a cellular contact, I imagine.
Something. Yeah. I don't know. But the evolution of the school bus where it was just a handful of kids who would be on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was maybe, I think it started out with 8 or 9%. And at its greatest, it was 61 point some odd percent. And now it's below 60%
mm-hmm.
of students, between 50 and 60% of students who ride the school bus.
Yeah. And there's a big increase in kids being taken to school by personal vehicle.
Right. Now, what they claim is that they take the place of 36 personal vehicles, it would save each household 180 gallons of gas per year
mm-hmm.
if they were to take the school bus. However, I know that in my former district, that if you lived within a mile radius of the school, you had to find your own transportation to the school. The bus was not going to pick you up.
Oregon state law says that elementary school kids a mile and further are entitled to the bus transport. Mm-hmm. It's not always that, starts at a mile out, but yeah. And a mile and a half for secondary students, middle school and secondary.
Okay.
And the state of Oregon is actually really good at their bus transports. And here's another thing too. Excuse me. I looked into, remember the intramural bus? I don't know if you ever utilized it.
The after school activities bus?
Yeah. You could stay after school and then the bus took you home. And there used to be two of them, as I recall. But mm-hmm. then one became the late one. I looked and saw how many districts in Oregon still do that. And very few. But primarily in the Portland area, they do. There's a charter school, the Harmony Academy, actually in Lake Oswego.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Lake Oswego schools that do it. And there's a North Clackamas shuttle bus that takes kids from one high school to another. And their drop-off points are the high school. And I'm not sure how that works, but they must have some sort of programs that are at certain places.
Oh,
so they'll take the bus over. And then there'll be another bus to take them back to their home high school.
So students can take advantage of other programs that other high schools have.
Yeah.
And then they come
precisely.
Back to their point of origin.
And I think they have
origin.
Five schools now. Which
oh,
is,
interesting.
Knowing that high school or that school district, that's the Happy Valley kind of area and then Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I think they had 5 or 6 schools they went around. So it's grown quite a bit since Clackamas, Rex Putnam, and Milwaukee.
Oh, interesting.
The three, yeah. Everything's grown, of course.
But getting back to everybody else in the world and school buses, I think that it is one of those things where it's an evolutionized kind of concept, and children rely on it more and more. There are parents who are demanding. Of course, if you are special needs or in special ed, then you can take the bus that's provided for you, no matter mm-hmm. how far a distance you are. But we do have parents who will drive 2 blocks to take their children to school because they deem it as unsafe for their child to cross the street. And it makes one wonder, have they encouraged their children to use common sense when they cross the street? Or
you would hope so.
It's interesting.
There's also a lot of crossing guards. So,
well, not at the high school level, and I don't know that they have them at the middle school level either. Because
I'm not sure about that, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
They have at the elementary. There's always the the person with holding the sign.
Right. Yeah,
and that's okay.
But
school buses. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm just wondering, I don't see it as anything that would be seen out of the ordinary anymore to have crossing guards for middle school students, considering how, and it's just an observation at how much we tend to, I guess, coddle or infantilize our students and think that they're going to be in terrible danger because they can't think for themselves and they can't understand how a crosswalk works or, you know, and yeah, there are crazy drivers, but that has never changed. There's always been crazy drivers.
It's interesting to note that urban kids get around a lot on school buses and public transportation and walking.
Public transport, yeah.
Yeah, they'll go to, well, for instance, I know Portland Public Schools had a magnet program years back. And so if you wanted to go to the, like, the television and dance program, that was at Jefferson, you had to get to Jefferson. And that was usually public transport. Or, there were very, school buses didn't travel all across the city, you know, to catch kids from southwest to north, things like that.
Well, no. And the alternative program that I worked at in North Portland, over in the St. John's area, right next to the Overlook, the students would have to take public transport in order to go there. We didn't have the funds for a school bus.
Yeah.
So actually, they would take the public transportation. And we had kids coming from as far across as the West Hills. And they would have to go, and maybe it would be a 45-minute to an hour and a half bus ride for them each way, depending on the time of day and the traffic, et cetera. So that being said, there are some really interesting numbers that came from the longer school bus ride for students. Isn't that correct?
Well, we looked into that. And I had initially thought that there was some sort of correlation between longer bus rides or the lack of buses and student achievement. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find a lot of correlative evidence about that. There were indications that longer bus rides would mean less attendance because either you're on the bus or you're not. So you don't come late. It's not like, oh, I missed the bus, get there. But then again, that's a problem with rural bus routes anyway. Bus routes in rural areas go on for flipping ever.
Yeah.
And then the cities, of course, they're all centralized around the neighborhood. So it's kind of interesting to see that. There wasn't any real strong correlation. I mean, because that's a characteristic of country schools, of rural schools.
You know, and, I lived in rural communities and growing up, the kids would want to go to school because it was the hub of their social life. That was where they wanted to be because it was a heck of a lot more interesting than being on the farm all day, right?
Right.
Or being out in the woods. And there were some kids that would be on the bus for an hour and a half, 2 hours in order to get there. And these were very remote, very small communities. And we're talking about very Eastern Oregon, Northeastern Oregon.
Yeah, like
where
one high
there's only one road in and one road out.
Yeah, entire county, and maybe there's two high schools, maybe one. You have to get to it. Yeah.
Right. There were two. And they were supposed to go to ours. And it was interesting because those kids on the longer bus routes got their homework done. They figured out how to get their homework done as they were traveling. It was kind of like embedded there. And I kind of likened it to when I was working in the Bay Area and I used public transport a lot because when I lived in the city and I worked in Oakland, I would use the BART and then the Caltrans. And you know, whatever I was on, and I would get a lot of work done, or I would get a lot of reading done. There was just, I mean, there's only so long that you really want to be sitting there staring out the window or closing your eyes and going to sleep because it doesn't really do you any good.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of kids figured that out. Now, a lot of kids on farms, I ran into the complaint as a teacher that the kids that were taking the bus, they just didn't have time on the bus. They couldn't get their homework done. And the parents complained, every class expects their child to get homework done. And I would commiserate, but I also told the parents that most of the teachers I knew had allotted time in class for their child to get the homework done, or the majority of it. And so they probably should speak to their child about squandering away the time in class. And the parents came back with, well, that's the only time that they have really to visit. And I thought, you just don't want your kid to do anything, do you?
Yeah. Hey, working hard to get them to do nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's interesting, though. You're right. I looked at the evidence on that, on the rural stuff, and it just wasn't coming as long bus rides equal poor performance or poor attendance or anything like that. So I was thinking, okay. And if you think about it, it's all relative. If you're used to a 45-minute bus ride, that's just your life. I mean, if you lived with a 5-minute bus ride and it became 45 minutes, you'd be outraged, but thrown for a loop, perhaps, but not if it's a typical thing.
Well, it would feel like you were going away for the weekend, right? I mean, you're going out to Bonnie's house, and Bonnie lives way out in the boondocks.
Right.
So on your way to go to Bonnie's house in the boondocks, you are like not sure where you're going. Depends on what the atmosphere is. And then there's also the question, how do you get back? Now, it's also relative to how old you are when you're on that bus. Because what may seem like a long journey, I figured this out because I went back to one of my old hometowns a few years ago. And as I was driving around, I just remembered riding my bike around that town. And here I am. I'm back there almost 30 years later, and I am totally lost. I'm looking for the big hills. The big hills are not the big hills.
They weren't big hills.
I know my neighborhood. I know that it's changed. I've seen the pictures. I've looked at the maps and everything. But I am, by golly, I am just having a terrible time trying to figure out this place out anymore because things just aren't the same terrain, and it doesn't fit like it did in my memory. So it's all relative to your age. So what seems like a really steep hill is not really a steep, steep hill.
Yeah, right. It's all relative, eh?
Right.
It's funny. When I was a kid, time went so slow. And then now I'm reading that it does actually sort of speed up as you get older. But when I was a kid, 15 minutes seemed like a long time. That school bus ride, which is, a mile and a half from the school, seemed to take a long time.
Yeah. Here's the real reason why we actually got into this topic, though, was because people are demanding to know why school transportation dictates the schedules for schools.
Yeah. Do they know that? Do people know that? It's the reason you can't easily change school schedules. You can't get everybody everywhere all at once.
Right. Yeah. Because the bus barn, as it's so fondly thought of, has to determine the best course of action for them to get all the wee ones, all the middle ones, and all the big ones to their locations at the proper time. So if we tweak things by 5 minutes, that's kind of okay. If you do it by 10 or 15, then we're going into dodgy waters.
Right.
So
and forget about starting high schoolers like later because, they need more sleep and all. Yeah. Well, somebody's got to go earlier then.
So then they make it the tiny tots have to go to school early then.
Yeah, that's what they usually try to do.
And so they kind of, in that district, they flip the script. So the tiny tots start at 7:30, and the older kids start at 9.
Kinda, yeah. And there's some crazy, crazy schedules where middle schoolers, they start at like 9:30 and they're done at 4:30 or something. And that's just like, if I was a middle school kid, I'd be like, huh, what are you going to do with your mornings? What will your parents do with the morning? But there you go.
But then you see, but then, you know, there are times that I will be at a stoplight. And as soon as that light changes, those school buses are barreling forward. And if there's a merge lane, they don't even look. They just go. And so it creates this real dangerous kind of atmosphere. So, I mean, I've seen them almost run red lights in order to, because they need to be on time. They can't be late.
That's
right. And you have a lot of kids that just simply, nobody contacts anybody. The bus waits a prerequisite amount of time or a requisite amount of time, and then they go. And then people are mad because their kid was 1 or 2 minutes late. Well, I mean, the driver has a schedule and you're not the only person there. It's not a limo.
There's procedures too for that in many districts. You know, what if the bus is late? What do you do? And in an attempt to thwart, you know, multiple calls to the school. Because back in the day, I don't know how they do it now. I know they have GPS tracking, but I don't know where it's tracked from. A lot of buses. But back in the day, it was like, well, we sent them off. We waved goodbye. We assumed they'd be home by their usual time. So we don't know what the heck's going on.
I think the bus barn has all that data.
I think they do now, yeah.
The interesting thing is, you always end up with these wonky days whenever there's a snow and ice day.
Oh, yeah.
Because districts don't always have their heads together. And I know on the East Coast, it's a different story than in the Midwest. And here on the upper West, up in the Pacific Northwest, we have ice storms. And we're also incredibly hilly. So I know that y'all get a lot of laughs watching the videos from our winters where cars will be drifting down the hill and they can't stop.
Yeah, that's.
And then they'll slam into a car that's parked and that car will continue to slide down. Well, that's because we have ice, and even a thin sheet of ice will, it takes away all the odds.
Well, I wanted to mention that. So you're in your district and, you know, you go on the snow cast and it's okay out there here in this area in the Pacific Northwest. It can be treacherous in one area and nothing in the next. And the hills are always covered. And you don't see any snow or ice. And then you see that your school day has been canceled or delayed. The reason is that somewhere in your district, there was a hill that made it impossible for one or two bus routes to get any kids. So everybody in the whole district is going to be on that schedule. That's how it happens that way.
Well, yeah. Portland has it because the east side is much flatter, and so they will cancel classes on the west side and keep classes on the east side.
That's true. It's hills on the west and flat on the east. Yeah. But, and there's lots of roads. It's very urban, so
but the problem is that the district is the one that cancels the school and cancels everything, and the buses need to be chained up. They need to have their stuff. But, like I said, ice. We had about a block away from me, and I know the bus driver who recounted the story to me, and a teacher I worked with lives about 3 blocks from me at the bottom of this hill, where the bus driver was picking up kids, and it got icy really fast, and all of a sudden the bus is sliding down the hill, despite the precautions that the bus barn had taken with the bus.
Oh, man.
And so parents were absolutely furious, but what do you do? So I think the best thing for parents in that kind of case is if you're not willing to drive in this weather, don't put your kids on the school bus. Don't send them to school.
No, that's true too.
Because I think that they believe that people believe that public transportation and school transportation are infallible and that they should be able to transport people. Well, there's inclement weather that just doesn't work. But what they found what they stated in the data, though, too, was that students had a 0.14 deviation upwards in reading and math by taking the school bus. And those are the longer rides, right? But there was no correlation with mathematics.
It didn't say the longer rides, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
And then there's also...
That was the data on the longer rides, yeah.
Okay.
You're right. Okay, you're right.
But then they also had data...
Foggy, yes.
Right. And then they also had data on student academic improvement when they replaced older buses, you know, the ones that get all fumey, with the newer buses that don't get all fumey.
I did want to get into that subject with the generations, because how many people out there, raise your hand, can remember how stinky those buses were? Mm-hmm. Turns out they were kind of unhealthy. They may have been not good for us. They didn't care. Of course, there were no seatbelts then either, as I recall. And we were just told not to run down the aisle.
But right.
We kind of did. I knew better because I ended up on my face once. I said, I'm not going to do that again. But, they used to make us. It's interesting because the data did show that if you were on a more modern school bus, there were less instances of sicknesses and things like that. It didn't actually come up with a conclusive finding on that. But there was a lot of evidence saying, obviously, the newer and the cleaner the school bus, the better off mm-hmm. you'll be.
Yeah. And at first, when I was reading that report, I was thinking, does this have something to do with an environmental impact on your self-confidence, on the way that you view yourself? But no, it didn't have any of that. Maybe it was the lack of carbon monoxide going to your brain during that time, or I don't know.
Well, they'd set out in the parking lot a lot of times too. I recall that. Sometimes the buses would be turned off, but sometimes they'd be running, and kids are like kind of tailpipe level. You think about that. And then of course, if you opened up the windows, which is what every kid wanted to do, then Yeah, basically kids are huffing bus. You're right, huffing bus. And to this day, if I smell a bus go by with that diesel exhaust, it makes me think of Paris, France, because their buses were really stinky. Isn't that weird? Yeah. It's such a lovely smell. Yeah. It's everything we were looking at, mm-hmm. Like transportation outcomes on students in Michigan, for example, they were just a 0.5 to 1% increase in attendance rates and a 2 to 4% decrease in probability of being chronically absent, things like that. It's like, what? And then it'd get to the end of the paper and it would say, yeah, but we really couldn't draw any solid conclusions except for, about the newer buses versus the older buses.
Right. But what they did find.
That's kind of interesting. Yeah.
The interesting thing, though, is that chronic absenteeism went down.
It did.
If the kids were on a bus. Now, in alternative ed, my kids who were on the school bus, because our program was within the high school, my last one, I still had kids who were chronically absent simply because of life circumstances.
Yeah.
So they weren't going to be there. They would call me early in the morning and they would say, what time does my bus come by to pick me up? I forget. That's how infrequently they came to school. And I would have that written down because I realized that might be a problem. And I would tell them and they'd say, okay, I'm going. And it was just really, really interesting because the bus barn would call me and ask me about the kid. And it's like, well, I think the kid's probably going to be sporadic at best. So if the kid's not there, just keep going. I mean, what else are you going to say? So, but it's not as though they don't notice the kids there or not there. And I think that you have the bus drivers themselves have personalities unto themselves. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, they are kind of a good blast of reality for the students in many ways.
Now, they're another relationship that you can have with an adult. Yeah.
Right. But
yeah, local
but
people.
I'm just curious about, there is no data that talks about why districts allow the transportation to drive their agendas.
And there's a lot of the data showed certain tendencies, though. And what it did show that most students don't live further than a 20-minute drive to the school they go to. And it didn't matter whether it was a charter school or a regular high school. Mm-hmm. They didn't always travel further than their peers in traditional schools. So, yeah, I think everyone's kind of close to their high school anyway.
And if you're in an urban or suburban setting, if you're in a rural setting, if you're in a rural setting, then I think that you might have the ability to be a little further out. I did go to high school, and my second high school did not have school transportation. They were all on public transportation. And this one friend of mine said he couldn't wait to get his driver's license because then he could be home an hour earlier every day. And I said, well, what are you talking about? Well, he lived 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 towns over, and he had to take take public transport. And then when he got to the last bus stop, his parents would be there to pick him up because they ran a ranch. And so
their driveway was probably quite a long thing.
And he wasn't the only one. So then when another kid who lived one town closer got his driver's license, the parents would drive all the kids. They would drive their kids to his house, and then he would put them all into his truck, and then they'd drive to school because it was faster than the school bus, faster than taking the public transportation.
Right, yeah.
But still,
if you're in a long distance situation, it's not very accommodating.
Right.
So that could be a barrier to school attendance. It turns out that I couldn't find much evidence saying it was.
It can be. Know. It depends on what the school has. Yeah. It depends on the stakes. What are the stakes for student attendance and graduation, for student learning and everything? And that's all on a case-by-case kind of situation, because not every student is there to graduate from high school.
Exactly.
We don't know what's going on in that other 86 to 99% of their life.
That's true, yeah. It's also interesting to note that, as the country's changed, vehicles have become like, I mean, an American has at least one vehicle, if not two, or three per family. And it used to be, if you could afford a vehicle, that was great. But then you had the bus, and that was a vehicle, and that's even better. But now you have the choice. And data does show that a lot of people are driving their kids to school now, or their kids are driving. So there's just, societally, we're just having more driving people. We prefer to drive if we can and if it's practical. I remember when I was in high school, I took the bus sometimes, but I rode in with a friend, others, things like that.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of haphazard.
And see, I remember in high school, I would drive a lot of kids home.
Oh, right. There it is. Yeah. You're one of those guys because you had a license.
Well, because we would be doing stuff after school. Right, and then it's like, oh, can you take me home? Can you take me home? Can you take me home? Well, I went, I probably drove 45, 50 miles after school, taking people from one area to another because I was a private high school kind of kid, but I paid half my tuition. And that's back when tuition was affordable. But because I worked really hard, but I drove them all where they were supposed to go. And then I get home, I grab some dinner, and then I go to work.
Yeah, or practice or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember those days.
But it was very liberating to have a car, but
yeah,
you have to take that with a grain of salt because it's a little too liberating because you don't get as much homework done.
And that's I got some great stories of those rides that have been proven. Yeah, you can't do that anymore. The laws have changed on that, of course. So if you're 16, generally speaking, 16 to 18, you can't have anybody other than a family member in the car with you kind of thing. You can't pick up four of your friends and do the stupid stuff that we did with four of our friends in the car. But yeah, that's illegal now. Kids are probationary driving status.
And I would say that
they don't drive till you're 18.
But I would say that that actually adds to climate change because now you have more cars on the road rather than effective carpooling.
That's anti-carpooling.
Yeah, it is. Think about it. Because students are the ones that are going to carpool far more than anybody else. Now, maybe if there was a curfew on the carpooling, like, let's say 5:30, 6 p.m.
Well, there is. There are curfews, but not on the pooling because you can't do that. But yeah, you can't be out after like midnight, I think, or 10 p.m. unless you have a job. Things like that. Yeah, it's very conditional anymore.
But see, back if you're out day, for you a sport.
Throw skis and like, go, kid. Yeah.
But see, if you go out for a sport, there aren't necessarily buses that are going to take you home after you've been practicing.
Well, there have. I mean, aside from the couple of school districts and such, there's no transportation after school activity. So, that's a pickle.
And it's only a couple of days a week that they actually have those. So that means that you have to be privileged enough to either live close enough, have a bike, have a car, have somebody else that can pick you up and take you.
Or your parents pick
you
up and take
you. There's something else. So it's, it's a little funky. But school buses are kind of a weird little organism that does this weird dictation around education. And people will say, well, we have to have them. But should something that isn't really integral to the learning process, should that actually be?
But it's integral to the whole foundation,
Yeah.
I mean, school buses are definitely a big, important part of the school system. And they sort of sit on their own there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask the listeners, what do you think? Let us know.
Yeah.
Because this is really a funky, funky area for us to be looking into.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Because next week, we're going to take on something heady. We're going to ask whether or not education is killing the American dream. So, make sure that you're subscribed. Make sure that you keep up with us, and we will see you then. So until then, keep your feet on the ground while you reach for the stars. Philip, thank you very much.
Aloha, Tony. Thank you.
And until next week, adios. Bye-bye.